Okay, so we're back in my office now, and we have seen what the failure is. So what we would do right now, I would do, is look up in Product Studio, try to find the bug that said anytime I backspace or did some type of edit manipulation in the VB file, there was a compiler crash. And so actually I had already analyzed a lot of these test cases and saw similar crashes. So we can skip the Product Studio query step. So we're back at the run object. I want you to click on the results tab. One more. Oh, you were right there.
Oh, yeah.
And then go click on the drop down for view results, and then say my results, and that will bring up all my results. And so click expand my name, and then so that's the one we analyze. Look at Backspace, Whitespace, Nightly, because they're pretty much the same, kind of do the same functionality. And click on analysis. And you'll see the bug ID. I want you to copy just that bug ID.
This one here?
Yeah, just that bug ID. Okay. And then go back to Backspace General Nightly.
Okay.
Back to and the other test case.
Oh, this case.
Okay. Yeah, and so now we're going to analyze it. So you can remove the VS Wibby comment and just paste the number in. And you see that the check box got checked. Mm-hmm. And it has been analyzed and just hit save.
How'd you know that was the bug?
Because I actually I didn't want to cheat, but I had to because I had already analyzed all my nightlies for this week. We have like a 24 to 48 hour turnaround period to analyze all of our failures, so either a product bug or a test case issue or an automation framework issue. So that's why on the other one, people might have noticed that it had said auto analyze. Mm-hmm. So from the previous run, that was a failure. It had to analyze it. So I had just unanalyzed this bug, so we would have something to show that it was unanalyzed. So I have one thing that was red. So so that's what you would do.
What happens if you don't analyze your test cases within 24 hours?
Or 48 hours. When we get closer to the end game, the 24-hour rule goes really into effect. But usually it's we have a slew of runs that will come in. We had like up to 10 a week a couple of months ago. We would have 10 runs, and so if we had 8 failures per run, that's 80 failures we would have to go investigate. Mm-hmm. And most of the time...
How do you find time to blog when you've got 80 failures?
Yeah, well, I try to figure it in. Well, when I'm watching the test case run in the lab as we were doing, I got my laptop up there. Yeah, well, not really, but... So auto analysis can come into play a lot, too. But usually the runs, if we get 10 a week, they're sequential. So it's like build 10, build 11, build 12. So once you analyze the first run, then you kind of know, oh, okay, these are the next ones that fail. You can double-check the auto analysis just to make sure. But so usually the number of unique failures should go down. But
so how much crossover do you generally have in your test cases because this one failed for the same reason this one did?
Most of the time it just depends on the SKU. If you're having a different, because the nature of the VS Core team, it's the same functionality, it's just on different SKUs. So it could be different blocking bugs on different SKUs, or it could be just because the end scenarios change. But if we don't analyze our failures, that means that there could be a potential, you know, test case blocking bug or a product bug that needs to get fixed ASAP. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like your number one priority, analyze your failures, find these bugs as early as possible. Because the later and later bugs come in, the more difficult or the more costly it comes to fixing them, because then you have less time to test for regressions after the bug gets fixed. So if you don't, you know, analyze your failures within the reasonable time, you have to explain to your manager why you weren't able to do it. So it's kind of like a bad thing to do. So you always want to, so on, like on our editor team, we our rep will send out mail, hey, so-and-so you have analyzed failures, so to keep a track on everyone. And if people need help, we'll load balance and help out other people with their failures. Okay. Any other questions about all of this? Okay. So you ready to start helping me on Monday?
Absolutely.
All right.
Sign me up. Load balance me your test cases so that you can continue to interact with the community.
That's right. I like that. I'll blog and she analyzes my nightlies.
Perfect.
That will work.
Perfect.
But this is something that we would expect a new hire to know how to do pretty quickly. That's one of the first things we would teach you is how to analyze your failure, how they analyze failures.
So when you new hire, generally you're going to give them like a set of test cases that they own.
Right. So you'll have your name instead of saying, sir, or if we had like an intern, you would have your name and your test cases that you own and that you have to, you know, maintaining. And then you have these buttons down here, like reset to machine or reset. So let's say I fix the test case, I check in the new code. Let's say it was a test case issue. Or the product change, you know, because, you know, products, you know. When I say product change, from an automation standpoint, remember how I said don't touch the mouse because it's very sensitive? Mm-hmm. So if, to having to use a mouse pointer, so if, like, if a dev changes Windows just slightly or creates a new window class, that breaks us. Anytime they change resource strings, that totally breaks us. So you might have to have a check-in. You might have to fix one of those cases. And then you can just reset the test case, and if it passes, then it gets a green. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, and then hopefully you don't have to worry about that again. And ideally, you want to have 100% passing, all green, or it's resolved to a product bug. And if it's not resulted in a product bug, then it's a test case issue that you need to get fixed as soon as possible, because you always want to, you know, get the best coverage that you can get.
So what's... You want 100% passing in general.
Yeah, you all. That's the perfect state. I mean, that's the perfect world, the ideal world.
And what's the real world? Like,
the real world
on
is...
average is our...
It depends on the point in the product cycle. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as the dev checks in the new code, or let's say, like, we're at the beginning, or the beginning of a milestone, the dev has a work item, dev checks in new features. Or not so much new features. Like, for example, the tool window docking, something that I used to own. One of the... M3 work items was to change the docking behavior. So obviously it's not really a new feature, it's just new behavior. Mm-hmm. So of course all the test cases fail. So, which you would expect some flux whenever they're changing or redesigning things. But then once you get to like a good state after that, a good state would be like they're either passing or there's a bug that you found while testing the new features. Mm-hmm. Normally I would say it's about this like 80% passing, 20% failing due to, you know, product bugs. And it just takes a lot of coordination with your dev and make sure that, hey, they're on track to getting these bugs fixed. And making sure that you're staying on top of any changes that break your nightly. So if they fix a bug and maybe they have to introduce a new resource string or a new window class, then stay on top of your test cases and make sure that you update them. So it's not as easy to get to 100%, but it's just something that the less changes to the product, the easier it is. Mm-hmm. But if you're always checking in new stuff, it makes automation a little